This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Schoep.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back and thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. On the Westher Hotline with us, Radio.com insider and former NFL player Brian Baldinger. I've watched Brian for years on TV, Fox Sports, other places, now with Entercom. And Brian, of course, played in the league. His brother, one of your brothers, Brian, played for the Bills, Gary Baldinger, in the early 90s when you were with Indianapolis. So would you have lined up against Gary in those days?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I did line up on him.
Yeah.
I was at center one year, and he was backing up to Jeff Wright at nose tackle with Bruce and the gang. I got a little taste of him. He got me on a play, man, but, you know, I tried to erase that. It's a selective memory of mine. I tried to erase that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
But you guys were going to the Super Bowl every year. I mean, you were running right through the AFC every year. So, like, you were stacked, you know, with those teams that Marv Levy had.
Those were the days. And then Ted Marchibroda left to become your coach. You would have played for him, or was he there just after you?
Ted came just after me.
Okay.
Yeah, I left to go to Philly, and Ted came in like a year after. We'd had a coaching change, and Ted came in there and took over in Indy.
Okay, you might have been Lindy and Fonny.
Well, I left Indy, and I went to Philly. So I was there with another coach. Lindy wasn't there.
Okay.
Yet Ron Meyer was there.
Ron Meyer.
When I was there.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. So we just had draft weekend, of course, and the Bills did not have a first-round pick. There are a lot of other interesting situations to talk about. Here, Brian, we sort of expected this, I think, at least to some degree, that they would, they might have, it looked like they felt that they had a good roster. And a lot of people agreed with that, and that's sort of how the draft, I think, looks. Drafting a backup quarterback, presumably, and a kicker here, they seem to be pretty confident in their team.
Well, they added a lot of pieces, you know, that Sean really likes, you know, that he had in Carolina, whether it was Josh Norman or some of the defensive linemen that mm-hmm. he brought in. So they know the system. They know what he wants. I think that, you know, AJ really brings something off the edge. People might not like the way he tested, but go watch his tape at Iowa up until his last game against USC and watch how he played. He's a good football player. And, you know, I just think, you know, you draft a defensive lineman in the first round last year. The kid really started to develop, and you get AJ this year, and you add them into the mix, and you keep the depth going, you know, and then you supplant it with the running back. Devin Singletary is a starting running back, but, you know, you get a real speedster in there right now, and, you know, you just keep fortifying it, but you keep building around your quarterback, and I think that's what they're doing. And, you know, John and Cole did really well last year at receiver, but now you got a true number one, Stephon Diggs, and the two young tight ends last year really came on. I mean, I think it's being built the right way. I think they just keep incrementally getting better. They're a real team. You can see how they play together. I think they're well coached. They're disciplined. I mean, I think they're going in the right direction.
How do you feel about them up front on offense, Brian? One thing we heard from a couple of fans yesterday was that, you know, no linemen drafted. And, you know, they added a bunch of guys last year in free agency and didn't do much there this offseason, but I think they still have a pretty, I don't know, versatile group. I'm not sure how good are they.
Well, I mean, I think Cody Ford's only going to get better. I mean, he played guard and tackle last year. You know, I mean, size-wise, you're not going to get much bigger than Cody. All Deion Dawkins has done is, you know, kind of proven everybody wrong in 3 years. He just lines up at left tackle and plays pretty well, you know, every single week. And Quentin Spain was a good pickup, and Mitch Morris. I mean, I thought they put together a pretty good group last year. And, you know, when things do break down, they've got a quarterback that's as talented as anybody in this league about buying time or taking off with it, and you have to account for them. So, I mean, I always like to reinforce my offensive line. I like to always draft at least one every year and just put him into the fold, whether, you know, if he's a late-round pick and you keep him on practice squad or you find a way to kind of cross-train him at, you know, two positions. I always like to draft one. But, look, they didn't have that many picks, you know, and that's what they did. But I felt like they addressed it last year, and they really kind of put together a pretty good group last year, and they had to do it. They changed coaches. A lot of new personnel. I think four different starters up front last year. I thought it paid off.
You feel like overall their success last year was legit? I mean, they had 10 wins. It speaks for itself. They had the good point differential. They were in the playoffs, all those things. They had a pretty easy schedule too. So I came out of last season going, okay, well, next year they're going to have really to prove something. And then Brady left the division. And now we're sitting here a couple of months later after the draft, Brian, and the Bills are kind of a co-favorite in the AFC East. Does that seem solid to you?
Well, I favorites at the end of April are, you know, they're just paper tigers. You know, you got to go play these games. You got to overcome all the adversity that's going to come your way. You got to be built tough like that in case you lose key players, which inevitably can happen in any given team, how you recover. I mean, they went down to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and they took it to the Cowboys. They won that game. That was a good football team. They beat that day on the road, and you know, on a short week, on a travel week, and that was impressive. I mean, that was probably as good a win. They took the New England Patriots to the brink twice. Tom Brady had his worst game that he had since 2006 against the Bills. I mean, they made life difficult for a lot of teams last year. I like the way they play. I really do. They had they had Houston down 16-0. They let them up. You know, they've got to learn from that. You get an opponent down, I don't care if it's week one or if it's week 18. You get an opponent down 16-0, you better finish it. And, you know, if I'm Sean McDermott and I've got the guys coming in, whatever that is this year, that's my message. My message is to them is we got to finish. We got to finish practice. We got to finish drills. We got to finish games. We got to finish playoff games. You can't let that happen again. And so, I think that'd be a good strong message to sell to your team. Everybody can be looked at right now as improved, hopeful, can be the team that can turn around. The 49ers went from 3 wins to 13 wins. The Packers won 13 games. They weren't anywhere near the playoffs the year before. I mean, you're going to see 5 or 6 new playoff teams this year than you saw last year. I mean, it's just the way the league is. So you can't sleep on anybody. The Jets are a lot better. The Dolphins are a lot better. The division. And I know that the logical choice is to pick the Buffalo Bills, but I can't bet against the New England Patriots yet. I mean, we don't know what Jared Stidham is, but we know what that coach has been and what that system is like and how they can squeeze opponents and just choke them and find ways to win games. I mean, I don't think that's going to stop in New England. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Just got to get back to practice here pretty soon, one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all. That's obviously the big thing that has to happen. We have to make sure they're going to play. So New England, I mean, those games last year, you're right on it with that point about Brady struggling against the Bills. The problem has been the Bills have not been able to score on them. And in that game in December, they had chances to do that. I mean, a close game, but it wasn't enough. I'm sort of with you. Like, it's always been you pick against the Patriots at your own peril. And it's, you know, pretty dangerous to do that before you see them, you know, be different.
Well, I saw John Brown go up against, you know, Stephon Gilmore, the defensive player of the year, and singing for a touchdown to take the lead against the Patriots.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't finish that game. You know, you had the lead, a chance to finish it out. Look, that was the Patriots won the top three defenses in football, the defensive player of the year. I didn't see anybody that Stephon Gilmore didn't shut out last year. I mean, he had one of the great seasons by a cornerback of all time. All that kid is doing, I had a film session with him at the Pro Bowl this year. All he's doing is just going back and just studying every single route, every single formation, every single quarterback throw. He does it all week long, all year long. So, I mean, he's going back and studying everything that Josh Allen's doing right now. While everybody else is in furlough and lockdown, I guarantee you Stephon Gilmore's in a film room watching every throw that Josh Allen made. And he's watched that throw to John Brown 100 times. And so, like, he's just not going to let it happen again if he can help it. And that's just, and, you know, the McCourty brothers are coming back. I mean, that's just how they're wired up there in New England. So they're going to be prepared. I mean, they don't need to really be coached. They kind of do it themselves there on the sideline.
There was, progress with Josh Allen from year one to year two. And now they supplemented the roster from year one to year two, one of the worst receiving corps in the league the year before and last year, Brown and Beasley, now Diggs in this offseason, Brian. And it feels very much to me like the only reason people wouldn't be anointing the Bills as a favorite in the division, maybe even the conference, is that the quarterback is still, there's still a step that needs to be taken. At least that's how I view it. I'm curious what you think of Josh Allen at this point.
Well, I love Josh Allen. I mean, I don't care what anybody says, what any analyst, writer, pundit, I don't care what they say. I love that kid. I want him to be my quarterback of my team. I'd ride with that guy all day. He's as tough as can be. He's a bright, bright young player. I expect him to get better just because of his attitude, the culture, the attitude, the work habits. I mean, he's got everything it takes to be as good as he wants. Is he as good as Drew Brees is right now? He's not that yet. But he got better this year. He got better with better talent around him. Made better decisions. I could pull out tape of his preseason rookie year where he was throwing balls up for grab like it was, you know, like it was a summer beach party. You know, he doesn't do that right now. He's making better decisions with the ball. He's an elite athlete with the ball in his hands. I mean, I've seen guys' tongues dragging on the ground, chasing them all over the yard. But, you know, you're not going to win a Super Bowl by running around like that. You've got to be disciplined in the pocket, make the throws that are there. I think sometimes the last thing that can come for a player is accuracy on a deep ball. And I think everybody would agree that he needs to be more accurate on a deep ball. He's got that huge arm. He likes to show it off from time to time. You've got a couple guys that can go get it, Stephon Diggs and John Brown right now. There's a lot of technique to throw a deep ball. I hope that he's somewhere right now in some bubble someplace, you know, throwing 100 of those a day right now. Because I think if he gets that down where instead of 5 yards out of bounds, it's falling in the midst of Stephon Diggs, I mean, you're going to hit some home runs. It's going to make a big difference in the offense.
Brian, what do you think, by the way, guys or most guys actually are doing right now? And we've talked about it today a little bit already, the Saints canceling their off-season program. Like, what are most players doing or going to be doing here in the coming weeks?
Well, it's ironic that you're asking me that right now. I'm actually in Lane Johnson, the right tackle of the Eagles. I'm in his barn right now, and it's as good equipment as any gym I've ever been in. And there's probably about six or seven guys that have rolled through here today from different teams. I think if you want to work out, there's ways to go work out. You know, I mean, these guys are making millions. Have the gym built in your house. You know, take the basement, finish it off. Take the garage, finish it out. I hope they're finding ways to stay strong. There's cornfields all over the country. You can go running. Imagine saying, if you want to work out, there's no excuses not to be. I mean, Sean Payton, I was a little shocked when he said it, like I think it was on Friday, when he said there's going to be no off-season program here in New Orleans. Kind of caught me off guard because I'm still hopeful that this thing can calm down enough that we can at least get back to go to facilities. But he did say this at the end, show up in the best shape of your life. So if guys don't do that, guys are going to lose their jobs. I mean, they're going to take the guys that are in shape, guys that are ready to play, whatever that is, whether it's July or August or who knows. Teams are going to keep the 53 players that are in the best shape and are going to contribute the most. So if you're laying on the couch right now and you're just waiting for this thing to die down and you're really enjoying all your shows on Netflix right now, it's going to pass you by.
There's the strength and the lifting and all the working out. Then there's also the timing aspect of football, the quarterback and the receiver, the teammates, linemen, everybody working together. That's what do you think we run the risk of seeing this season if they do play, but practice time is maybe even dramatically cut back?
Well, it's going to show up on Sundays. You're not going to keep that out. So this is you've got to practice these reps for a reason, to really become polished and to become really efficient on both sides of the ball. So it's going to look different, to the viewer and to the teams. But, it also might force teams to really simplify things so that, yep. Players can really play fast. So you may see changes in the playbook versus the type of, scripts that we have seen on some Sundays that can be 200-300 plays, long. It might be a much more condensed playbook. And then you might see, rosters that a lot more people are playing. Instead of just playing five offensive linemen, maybe at the start of the season you play eight just to keep them, keep them fresh and get them into shape and playing shape. You may see teams keep nine defensive linemen and roll all nine through throughout the course of the game. So you may see some expanded rosters, and you may see teams play a lot more players to start the season this year.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Brian,
go ahead, Bulldog.
As always, a lot of fascination at the top of the draft this past weekend with the quarterbacks. Maybe the most interesting, I don't even think it's maybe, almost definitely the most interesting quarterback move that took place was in Green Bay, with them trading up into the first round to get Jordan Love. What do you make of what's happening with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think they're looking at it. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at it, but you can't help that when you trade up into the first round to take the fifth quarterback drafted, that you can't help but think that this is all about, or the fourth quarterback drafted, that this is all about the future. And whenever that is, nobody really knows. Aaron Rodgers has made it very clear that he wants to play till he's 40. Tom Brady said that in New England, and I don't think they really bought into him playing until he was 45. And so he's playing a different place right now. And I don't know what's going to happen. I know his college coach at Utah State, Matt Wells, real well, and he thought the best thing Jordan Love could do was get drafted by a team with a veteran quarterback, and he could redshirt for a year. So I don't think Jordan Love is ready to play in this league. He's not ready to compete with Aaron Rodgers. But there are plays when you watch Utah State play from any year they play where you go, that's a golden arm. I mean, that's a big-time NFL arm. He can flick it, the ball goes 50. And there are plays, I'm not making this comparison, but there are plays in games where it does remind you of Patrick Mahomes. Rolling to his left, full speed, sees the receiver 50 yards in the end zone to his right, and he cuts it loose somehow and it gets there. And you go, that's the Mahomes type of play. And so that's what Green Bay, that's Brian Kudikin saw, and the general manager, and they said, let's draft this guy and get him. Let's get him in the building, and we don't have to rush him. But, by at least the third year, you'd want to get him on the field, you would think. So, we'll see how long Aaron Rodgers can hold him off. And if they have success like they did last year, then Aaron Rodgers doesn't have anything to worry about.
I guess, yeah. Like, Rodgers might want to play until he's 40, but I would bet that he doesn't play there until he's 40 after this. I mean, these quarterbacks, knowing what you said, I mean, we went through it with Josh Allen here not that long ago, but quarterbacks are getting on the field usually the first year now. Maybe that changes as it does in sports when you have the two Super Bowl teams both be led by quarterbacks who didn't do that. So the contract is one force that's working in one direction on that, but then, you also have the football mentality, which is usually the longer the guy waits, the better.
Well, what we're seeing right now, and there's plenty of recent history, is teams that are winning Super Bowls are with quarterbacks that are in their first contract. Russell Wilson did it.
Yeah.
And, Joe Flacco did it, and Patrick Mahomes did it. And, because you can really afford to build a team around them when they're not making $35 million a year and just draining 20% of your cap or 30% of your cap. So, I mean, that's what I think the Patriots are going to try to do. They're like, we're not going to pay $30 million. To our quarterback, we'll take a young guy, but we'll field a really good team around him, and we'll let him develop, and we'll coach him up, and we may see kind of a I mean, it's just my own personal belief. I don't have any, you know, facts on these guys, but my own personal belief is there might be a backlash to, you know, just paying these guys. I mean, you're going to pay Patrick Mahomes, but some of these other guys, maybe let them ride the contract out. And, you know, Jared Goff, I mean, is it the right decision? You know, Carson Wentz, I mean, they drafted a guy with the 53rd pick. Who knows? Like, maybe once you start getting to that second contract and the money just gets too, you know, too big to really afford a good team around him.
Right. That'll be interesting. That kind of happened with Winston. I mean, Winston, or even Mariota. Mariota was replaced during the season, but like Winston put up huge numbers, including interceptions, and they eventually were comfortable letting him go. So maybe that'll be the future here. All right, last thing, Brian. How about the Dolphins and the Chargers with their quarterback picks at 5 and 6? Do you like those choices for both teams?
I do. For Tua, I'm a big fan. I know what the injury history is, and you're probably rolling the dice. But you can't basically, I mean, nobody in Miami wants to hear anybody say, but you can't basically tank and just give Laremy Tunsil and all the players that they gave away and accumulate all this draft capital to be in a position to get a quarterback and not take the best available quarterback. I mean, the best available quarterback was Tua. Would they have liked to have Joe Burrow? Yeah, but it was just too, you know, the compensation was too big. So you can't come out of there without a top-flight quarterback, and he is. I mean, he is everything that you want. You know, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to know when he plays over, that kind of thing. And look, Justin Herbert, he's got a good resume. There's a glaring need for a young quarterback. With the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor, by all accounts, will be the starter, which is fine. Tyrod's a good leader. He's a great athlete. But, you know, we got to see if they can find the next Phillip Rivers. I have my doubts that he could become Phillip Rivers, but, you know, sometimes it's just a roll of the dice. You just don't know until they get that opportunity.
Very good. It's been nice talking to you today, Brian. Any questions for us before you go?
Well, you guys getting out and enjoying some spring weather here, or are you guys still just, you know, wrapped in bubble wrap there inside, you know, your cabins?
Well,
more bubble wrap than I'd like to admit, Brian. I got out. We broke out Saturday. The whole family went out to the country and just sort of got in the woods,
spent some time, got some fresh air.
But more days than not, man. I just sort of I'm working from my attic. Mike is in our studios. So, you know, I get up and I joke around with him and our audience that it doesn't really matter if I get up at 8 or I get up at 10. It gets to be like 2 o'clock and I'm still sitting in a robe in my chair drinking coffee going, oh, it's showtime. So it's not as much as I'd like.
Not good.
Well, I hope we all can bust out of that routine real soon.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Same. Very good. Thanks again for your time, Brian.
Okay. You bet, guys. Take care now.
Brian Baldinger on Twitter at Baldy, BaldyNFL. Did not play for Marchabrota or Infante, but did play for Ron Meyer. Ron Meyer just died recently.
Yes.
I felt like that was the next part of that conversation that just wasn't needed. As I guessed wrong twice. Yeah. I could have easily looked it up.
Right.
And who his coach in Indianapolis was, as if anybody wanted to know.
Right. He was also, Brian was also in camp. It's weird. I didn't want to, for some reason, I thought maybe he was omitting it. He was in camp with the Bills.
Here.
Yeah. Like, in between, what did he say? He went from Indy to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
In between there, he was in camp here, and he didn't make it out of the summer, but he was here. But anyway.
Well, I'm thinking about drafting Gary Baldinger on Friday in the defense draft.
Right. Yeah.
Especially here, he got him once, so he'll be eligible. He played defense for the Bills. He will be eligible in this draft. Anybody who played defense for the Bills is eligible, right, Joe?
Are we drafting punters too? No, we would have had to drafted kickers. I think in the offensive draft,
we did.
Did we? Oh, we did do that, right? So we are drafting punters.
Draft kickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should draft punters.
Easy first overall for me on that one.
I think so.
Yeah.
But is he a first round pick?
Not for me, because I probably will have the first overall pick, if I remember correctly. He's not going first.
Do you go first because you went last in offense?
Did we say that? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
I think that's what we decided. We were flipping the order. Yeah, reversing it from the offense.
You're second, yeah. I'm third, Sal's fourth.
But keeping the third round flip, because like the offensive draft, there's a pretty clear number one.
Yes, and who should be second? I guess that's for Bulldog to decide because he'll pick second. But who should be second? On Friday, we'll do a Bills defense all-time draft, much the way we did the offense one, whatever it is now, 10 days ago or so, and fill out our teams. And if you have a nomination or an idea, like number one overall seems like that would be unanimous, but is the second choice, is there a consensus on the second choice? Would be fun to discuss, and then we'll do that on Friday afternoon. 803-0550 is the number. The update coming up after this break. Lines open now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Milo, pleased to be tired today. We made more mistakes in the last two games. And you know what? You never think about it. You know, you expect a long series. You think about game by game. You cannot think about a sweeping, you know. You can say sweeping until everything is over. And I feel great. I feel great, you know. But I like a little bit time off.
MSG and the Sabres replaying the 1999 playoffs. Last night was their clinching win over Ottawa from round one. We're on to round two and Boston tonight. Before we talk about that, if we do, I'm fine to do that. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to talk about most subjects. I can't think of too many that I would turn down. Want to mention that we had Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger on the line. Insider calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, launching May 1st, Friday, on Radio.com. It was nice. Yeah, I did. I wrote down one thing today, but it can wait. Whether your dog has a favorite food. Do you think, like, so dogs tend to want, like, everything we eat. My dog is just always, he doesn't seem to mind the torture of not getting it. He will always sit there and stare at us during meals. He wants, anytime there's anything being eaten, he is right there in case there's a mishap. But does he have a favorite? If he did, if we knew that dogs had favorite people foods, I would tell you that our dog's favorite people food is pizza crust. Or just pizza. That is what he gets the most excited about.
Are you sure he might get the most excited about that because of the frequency with which it gets
maybe
given? Like, in other words, like, ooh, it smells like that thing where I get the crust. So
yes.
He gets excited. Like,
yes.
He gets excited.
Yes.
Not that he would discern that it's crust, but I think you know what I mean.
No, I like how you're thinking here. It's anecdotal.
That thing is in the house, and I usually get some of that. Whereas other stuff, maybe not so much, you know?
He does seem, yes, maybe. He does, I don't know, again, anecdotal. Does he or does he not show a certain doggy sense that there is going to be pizza, a DSP, if you will. He might have DSP,
yeah.
Dog sensory perception, where he just comes over and he's just got a feeling. But you might be right. It's a pretty regular food item in our house, you know, a lot of people.
I don't know. I mean, it's the first thing that came to mind to say there. I'm not sure if it isn't debunked by what I just thought of with our Fred. Because he probably, as much if not more than any other people food, he probably gets leftover scrambled eggs. And he does not behave in some, like, you know, ooh, they're making eggs way, you know, that's in any discernible way, in any discernible way different than how he would act if I were just making toast, say. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure that that reaction is a way to gauge that.
No.
Necessarily. Like, you know, maybe Samson really, he smells the pizza and he knows, like, this is my favorite thing. You know, more
yeah,
so.
Yeah, maybe
than,
he does.
Like Fred with the eggs, because, you know, it's like, oh, some more eggs in my bowl, great.
I think what you said, I'm gonna use that. I'm going to go with that. That he knows he will get some.
Yeah.
Like when I make a steak or something, I'm not giving him some of the steak. But
right.
It's pretty often that, like, we'll order pizza and the crust will just be too thick. I don't want it. I'm like a little kid when it comes to pizza crust sometimes. Frozen pizza, when it's like just a thin, crispy crust, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, I'll eat that. But I don't want the big doughy, you know. I don't want a breadstick.
And for a dog, that might be like a bone that you can actually swallow.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, like the kind of, like,
the
a
shape.
Bone that you chew for a few weeks and then eventually it gets kind of gross and you throw it away. But, like, they've got a thing that they just sort of gnaw on, like rawhide, something like that, where a crust, like a piece of pizza crust can sort of have that consistency, but actually you can eat it.
Yeah, it's the utility of it. It's the shape and how easy it is to actually eat.
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe that works. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think steak. It's got to be steak. How is it not steak for a dog?
Or like,
have you ever
bacon.
Seen a dog turn down steak? Not that I've seen a dog turn down pizza crust either, I guess.
Yeah, no, anything.
I've seen a dog turn down fruit. So there's some people fruit food, I guess. But.
If I'm eating chips and a tiny part of one chip breaks off and lands on the floor like it would, the dog is sitting there watching me eat the chips. He seems to need all his strength to not move in on that tiny crumb before I'm done. And I mean, Samson, can you just wait? You will get that.
Yeah.
You will get that. I am not going to pick that up off the floor and deprive you of that. But you just have to wait until I'm now it's 10 chip limit. Too many nights in this quarantine, I've been eating too many chips. So it's 10. The limit is 10. You want to have chips? What, we're watching Downton Abbey? How many? 10.
Wow.
And he's
Yes. Is there an average chip size so that you have three or four pieces that comprise the actual size of one good chip?
Always the right questions. Recently, the chips were like end of the bag chips, kind of broken,
right.
And I upped it a little bit.
Okay.
Because I did take liberties with that.
Right.
Always right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
With that question.
You know. You're gonna have a guideline. I mean, you gotta be able to follow it.
Ten isn't 10 sometimes.
You don't want to cut yourself short. You know, that's you know.
I don't know what to do now. let's go to the phones. We have Bob with us. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys. Hey, Mike. I know you're a big Sabres fan, so I want to hear your two guys' take on why there's such a big difference between the two teams or organizations. Why are you know? You look at the Bills, and I mean, they're light years ahead, you know, and then you look at the Sabres, and it seems like they can't get out of their own way.
I don't know. I don't even know that there is a difference, except for the fact that the Sabres have been pretty much terrible and the Bills are okay. But is there is there a difference in style or?
No, it seems like they're run different. I mean, you listen to Brandon Bean talk. I mean, he sounds like he knows what he's doing. He listened to the general manager of the Sabres. I mean, he sounds like he's guessing at a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I might say that, too. Yep. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to figure anything out here that isn't one guy's decent at it and one guy isn't.
Right. I mean, I think the difference, I think, they're owned by the same people. I think there's a lot of crossover in different departments as far as like overseeing, you know, both organizations, like from a business standpoint. So I think the difference is that the Bills, I don't want to say it in a way that will be critical, like that they got lucky. You know, they hired Sean McDermott, and Sean McDermott hired Brandon Bean to come here and do this with him, and it looks like those were good hires. And maybe it's just as simple as that. I don't know that there's a lot else that's happening there that's different amongst the group. Unless the fact that the Sabres are downtown and the business is downtown, and that might, like, the business might leak more into the hockey than it does the football. I don't know. I mean, I'm groping here. But I think they just got lucky and hired good people, and that's all it takes.
Because it just seems like, you know, that the hockey players, I mean, no life, you know, like they're not, you know, you hear the Bills players talk. I mean, they can't wait to get to work and play a game. The Sabres, it sounds like, I just think that maybe they got to get, I think they change coaches too much myself. I think you better stick with one coach for a while and see what goes on. But I think the general manager, I mean, it's got to start from him, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I don't know if I agree with that point about the players. I bet the hockey players are ready to work. But there's definitely luck in it. I mean, the Sabres are a major frustration and disappointment. And other people would be stronger. And that's me sometimes, too. A major disappointment. And the first thing about that is that ownership represented itself as that times have changed and that the Sabres were no longer a team that wouldn't spend money. And for a while that was true, and it stopped being true. And now, even before the pandemic era, it's really questionable just what kind of a commitment there is there. And Botterill, the thing's been a terrible failure. It just reads like they're not going to replace him, and maybe the only reason why is that they would still have to pay him. I don't know. Like, things have not happened with that team that should have been obvious over the last couple of years or longer.
Yeah. I made the point about the business, and I don't know how, you know, again, I'm just, there's a lot of guesswork here. But I believe this, that as much as you'd want to separate the business from the sport, like the athletes from the executives, I think once there becomes a vibe or people are just openly talking about their dissatisfaction with corners being cut and things not being like they should be or at a certain level, whether they were used to it previously in this organization or how other teams in the league are operating or whatever, like once I think you work in a place where you feel like corners are being cut and everything, every detail is not being taken care of, and the reason for that is money, I think it's really hard to get that out of you. I think that seeps in, and I think it just, you know, I don't want to stumble around here into the C word here, but I think a losing sort of defeatist culture can take over. And I don't know that maybe that's not what's happening with the Sabres. And that has nothing to do with trying to get a top draft pick 5 years ago, in my opinion. It's more just how you as an employee observe what's going on, you know, and how people are being taken care of. And I think the Sabres are scoring very low in those areas and have been for a while, pre-pandemic, like you just said. And look, that doesn't have to be why, you know, they don't have more better players. If they had more better players, then maybe they'd be better, right? But I think even the players you have that are good can have just a cloud hanging over them because they feel like the organization is, I don't know, like not on stable ground.
Just certain decisions they've made with that roster were financially motivated, and that was just not supposed to be the reality anymore, and it is. So I feel like I'm back at a point with them that I was before the Pegulas, which was that the whole thing is the best they're going to do is brief moments of success until their good players leave. And I don't know. We'll see. This thing we're in now could really shake up the whole league, I think. Thanks, Bob. 803-0550 for your comments. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This is 53 for the win. Nick Folk is online. Is it long enough? The Cowboys win. But no, a timeout called by Buffalo. Again for the win. Again from 53 yards. This kick is online again. And again, it is good. And the Cowboys stun the Bills. 25-24. A remarkable game in Buffalo.
No thanks. Here's Tony with us. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, that was the game Terrence McGee dropped that interception like right before that happened. So if I want to tell you, you're spot on about dogs loving crust. I grew up with a golden retriever, and man, did he love it. And even like by the time he was age 14 and he couldn't see so well, you'd put it in the air, he could still pick it off in the air.
So, unlike Terrence McGee, perhaps.
Unlike Terrence, yeah, exactly.
I think he scored a touchdown on a return in that game.
And it's just like, I remember, do you remember that play? He was on it.
No.
And it went right through him. It hit him right in the numbers, and he went right through him.
I don't. I remember usually only the good plays. You know that, Tony. Come on.
Positive, yeah, but you got to remember what got you.
I remember them not covering the sideline before, since you insist on talking about this game. I remember them not covering the sideline before Dallas's last pass and being on the postgame show. Maybe at the moment Bulldog was ramming his head into the wall here saying that Jerron should be fired for it. And then I remember back when I read the paper, it saying about me that was ridiculous. Either it was said in the paper or by the person writing for the paper. And I'm like, okay, well, still. I mean, that is so bad that you should be gone. And he was gone pretty soon. Maybe not for a couple of years, but eventually.
Right.
Felt like I was right.
Yeah.
I guess you shouldn't. You shouldn't have said it is what the criticism was. And like, okay, well,
yeah,
I did. Guess what?
I think a lot of people were feeling that. Yeah, I mean, I could not get there last night. I mean, it just, and it really, that makes it sound like it was a struggle. I've never thought less about watching an old game. It just was like, I want no part of this. I just don't want to do it. I mean, it was like Jeremy on Twitter had a thing going, and every comment was like, I remember breaking my hand. I was in the hospital, it's all just horror stories. Like, everything's a horror story associated with that. I should say everything. I did get a few, like, people who present themselves to me as Bills fans who said, it's one of the most incredible sporting events I ever went to. Because, you know, so dramatic, and just you wouldn't expect to lose a game that had gone the way that game had gone for the Bills. So, like, on some objective level, some Bills fans to me last night were saying that they have a good memory of it because it was such a remarkable game. But I can't. That you're bigger than me, man. That game made me, well, maybe want to hurt myself. I smashed my head into a wall on purpose, and I don't advise doing that. It's not real smart.
Yes. Tony called in to talk about the Pegulas and never got there and hung up. I was going to wait you out there and ask him what he wanted, but he left.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I took too long.
I do not. No, whatever. I don't remember Terrence McGee dropping a pick, but I assume that he did. He was one of my favorites. I have a blind spot when it comes to him. I always liked him. Thought he was good. Was he good? I thought he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good. He left.
He's a good corner and an amazing kick returner.
Amazing.
So sure, of course he's good.
Amazing kick returner. One of the best the Bills have ever had. Is he in the draft? You know what? Let me write that name down right now.
Oh, of course he is.
Terrence McGee.
He's
going to
be
him.
Eight corners? Eight? Yeah, no, he'll be picked. He's a top eight corner in Bills history, isn't he? Someone might want to draft
only,
a nickel corner here.
Only if you're doing the returns.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
that,
not though. If you're not you know, including the returns.
Maybe I misremember. I remember him being like a pretty good number one corner, not like a great one, but
he was all right.
Let me ask you a question here, and you can do with this what you want, considering, you know, we're into smokescreen season now. Would you pick him over Stephon Gilmore?
No.
All right. And Gilmore was only here for 5 years.
That's a lot. That's not a short time.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
McGee was here for 9 years.
The best corner the Bills have had since the merger is on the team now.
Yeah, right.
He might be the second overall pick in this thing.
Top two corners could be Gilmore and White.
Yeah. Right. Like, we're going to pick anybody. Anybody want? I mean, not Tony because he left. He's already on. Sorry. But anybody else? Like, so Bruce Smith will probably – I named him there. He'll probably be the first pick of this draft on Friday. Who should be second? Mm-hmm. All-time Bills defense. And is there an argument for Tre'Davious White?
I think there is.
3 years.
When we had this conversation an hour ago – I wanted to say his name and then thought, well, when I brought up Jason Peters before the offensive player draft, I wonder if everybody was thinking about Jason Peters. Obviously, you'd be thinking about Tre'Davious White, but I don't want to give anything away. I feel like I gave away Jason Peters for the offensive player.
And I took him.
And you took him.
But you didn't like that he wasn't on the team for very long, and White has not been on the team for very long.
No, I know, but you said I'm picking second.
Yep.
And when you said that, I thought, I think I might take Tre'Davious White.
All right. 3 days away, minus a couple hours. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe, 803-0550. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.